Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. It's a Chuck and Julie grassroots show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden here. Lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to jump right into it with Colorado Republican Party head Dave Williams. Dave announced this week Matt Arnold to lead Colorado Republican Party's newly formed anti-corruption committee. And already you're being attacked. Now, why would someone want to attack an anti-corruption meeting? That's right. The pro-corruption wing of the Republican Party, we call them rhinos, is attacking Dave for it. So Dave, we thought we'd get you on today and explain kind of what this is all about, because I think it's a great idea. So welcome to the show, first off. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, the why is pretty simple, right? We have establishment Republicans in our party that don't want to actually see change, meaningful change that would lead to ethical governance of our organization. Right now, what you're seeing in Washington is a great example of what we're talking about with the continuing resolution where, you know, look, Mike Johnson said he wouldn't do something like this. Well, he's doing it again. Now, I want to give a shout out to Elon Musk. That guy is putting pressure on all congressional Republicans to drop this, and it looks like they succeeded. But if we're getting to, you know, why the establishment, why these rhinos do what they do, it's because they don't want to change the system that has allowed them to gain more power, more money, more influence unto themselves and to their friends. And that's the biggest problem that we have, not only in our government, but within, quite frankly, each political party, but especially our own. We have an establishment set of figures that want to punish anyone that goes against them because it gets in the way of their gravy drain.
Luckily, they added a 40% raise for themselves.
In
so
Congress.
If they're feeling bad, it would, you know, make them feel a little bit better.
The
other day I was looking at some of the posted, I know, you know, some people thought you'd be great with the administration. I've changed my mind about joining the administration, even though I'm not what they're looking for. after I saw what they pay, holy shit, for these, you know, non-Senate confirmation, 314, 320. I mean, whoa, what fun. Man, I mean, they pay some good salaries for some of the jobs.
Well, this is why we need Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to do what they're doing. And God bless them, because they did put pressure on Congress to kill this continuing revolution. So, you know, we're crossing our fingers, but getting back home to Colorado, right, you know, we do need to clean up the corruption within our own party. I mean, this corruption has been going on well before I became chairman. And what you saw was sort of a crescendo of sorts with the coup attempt and the civil war that these guys changed. And of course, the death threats underscore, you know, the need for us to really quit ignoring this and just get to the bottom of it and make sure that someone like Matt Arnold, who's very capable of getting to the bottom of things and uncovering the truth. You know, that guy, he's going to do a lot of good stuff and help us uproot this corruption and make sure that we have a clean, transparent, and functioning party.
Well, and it's not as if the establishment was winning either. They just want power for power's sake. It's not like they were successful. And I know, you know, in the press release you talk about, you want some of the people you want to look into, this committee is going to look into, is the Coosters, Todd Watkins, Nancy Pelosi, and Eli Bremer. But one of the reasons I was so pleased to see you name Matt Arnold, he was with Campaign Integrity Watchdog, and we did a ton of stories with him when he was able to get to the dark money laundering scheme involving Bob Beaupre and the Uniparty.
Even Matt, who had followed it down to, you know, these nonprofits in Colorado, which went out to Nevada and the Nevada. I mean, they hide it so much. I mean, they hide it four or five layers.
But Matt knows how to chase it, though, I think, right, Dave? Is that your thinking there?
Matt does. I mean, the guy has – look, if anyone has given the establishment a hard time to where they actually feel it in their pocketbooks or they're at least embarrassed, it's Matt Arnold. If you look at his history, he can show you rhino scalp after rhino scalp of people that have been held accountable in some way, shape, or form. And sadly – you know, we don't see a lot of that happening. That's why Matt was the perfect guy to bring in, because these people, like the coup, the people who attempted the coup, they spent money. We spent $100,000 as the party on defending ourselves through legal fees and attorney's costs. The other side, I guarantee you, spent double that, if not more. But unlike us, they didn't have to disclose what was going on, even though they probably should have legally. And that's a part of the thing that we're trying to uncover and unfold, uncover and make sure it comes to light. So Matt will help us, I think, get through that, among other things. And then with his findings, along with the committee, we're going to be given a set of recommendations so that this stuff never happens again.
Well, yeah, because I mean, let's point out, if people, you know, don't like the current party chair, there are clear and present systems in place to get a new party chair in a matter of months. This is unnecessary. And I think what I like about what you're doing here is, and with Matt's digging, because we saw when he did this before with the Hobo Prey organization, once people realize, well, going back to what you said, somebody poured tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars into these efforts to undermine the grassroots in the currently leading the Colorado Republican Party. And if we know who those people are, then we can turn around and say to them, why? And if they know their names are going to be out there, and if they know they're going to be exposed, you know, I mean, to me, it's what we always said before. It's like, hey, you can fund whatever you want, but let's do it in open. Let's be transparent about it. Let's let people see your name and your face, because you got to suspect there's a reason they're hiding it, right? Because, I mean...
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head. If people don't like the current leadership, they can always vote us out at the normal process. That's happening in March. I don't know why you'd want to vote us out. We're the only, you know, team in the past 10 years that have actually won races, unlike my predecessors, especially KBB, which, you know, oversaw the worst and most historic losses our party ever had. But apparently that's the kind of leadership that people like Todd Watkins, Bremer, and the establishment want to have. It makes you wonder why. Nevertheless, we need to make sure that Civil War type coups like this never happen again, because it's not fair to the body that elected the leadership and gave them a chance to run it in a way that they saw fit. I mean, that's elections have consequences. And if you don't like it, then you wait till the next election and then you do something, because everything we did was above board. We had all of our major decisions were done with the backing of a majority in some way, shape, or form, whether it was the state central committee or if it was the state assembly. None of this was done unilaterally. And so we need to protect and safeguard the ability for the membership to actually dictate the direction of the party. And that's the complete opposite of what the rhinos and the establishment want done. They want to actually rule by top down tyrannical measures, and that's just what we haven't done. The ironic part about it is they accuse us of the same of the exact thing that they're actually doing. So, you know, we're going to fight fire with fire, and we're going to bring on Matt Arnold. And all I got to say is look out, because Matt, he's not shy.
No. Oh, well, Matt Arnold, I mean, we've read transcript of his court thing, you know. I would like to see the traitorous Adams County Republican chair, Daniel Bellefontaine, who wrote that disgraceful editorial saying the Republican Party didn't do anything. I'd like to see him deposed by Matt Arnold and say, who contacted you about hiring the hall, the town hall, right? I'd like to say to Nancy, I mean, Matt Arnold goes in and he's prepared. Like I said, we read his, the transcript of when he talked to Bob O'Prey, when he talked to Kelly Maher, all these people, and he has his stuff. And I think the only reason people are complaining about this, like Chuck said, is because they're pro-corruption and they fear being deposed and having to answer questions.
Well, unfortunately, because we've had so much to do and everything else, we've probably waited too long.
No.
Yeah, it's probably over. It's too late now to get a deposition by anybody until after the election in March. You file a complaint, finally you get an answer, you get a motion to extend the answer time, and then you get a motion to dismiss. And we'll never find out, unfortunately, okay, because our lawyers have waited too long, and it's too late, which is sad. I mean,
it's sad. Is being a downer, Dave.
Well, I'm not being a downer. I'm just telling you, I've done litigation. I know how long it takes to get a deposition.
He's managing expectations. What I will say is that we're going to unleash Matt, and we're going to give him all the power of discovery that he needs in order to do his job properly. So,
I think there is a deterrent effect, right? We saw that with the campaign integrity watchdog before. Again, going back to what Bob Beaupre and his organization was doing, when people realize, okay, maybe not this time, but that they could be deposed, when people realize if you're funding this, you're going to be exposed and you're going to be held to answer for why you did it. When people realize that, I think it starts to dry up. Maybe people like Nancy Pelosi and Todd Watkins and Eli Bremer won't be so quick to put their face. Maybe the media won't be so quick to just report it so one-sidedly. I think that is an extremely valuable thing, and hopefully we will get to the bottom of it.
You know, we not only want to continue to expose the primary players and their actions, but we want to go layers deeper than that. We want to know who actually financed their operations and probably illegally financed it without disclosing it. And we want to understand exactly how much and to what extent they did, because let's face it, this was probably the most important. I know it's said all the time, but this is literally the most important election of our lifetime. These guys decided to create a civil war and redivert resources that they had and we had into a fight that just wasn't needed. We could have probably done more had they simply gotten with the program.
No, definitely could have done more. I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Not only that, but all the time and energy of all the officers who are being...
Well, all the questions that were raised. Yeah, exactly.
And all of that is just, they won't be answered unless we win the March election, because it's too little time. Which is too bad, but that's the way it goes.
And the other thing too, though, I think, you know, and you maybe don't want to speculate, but a lot of it just does go to the money. None of this would have happened if the puppet masters with the money and the dark money hadn't been pouring it into these people, right? It would have never gotten this far because they didn't have the money. Somebody was paying Chris Murray, who was their attorney, a lot of money to do all of these things. And
he, she, they.
Right. And so none of it would have gone anywhere. And I want to say, Dave, I think it's even worse than they were trying to undermine the election here in Colorado. I think that this stems from a deep anti-Trump, anti-MAGA thing. I mean, I got to wonder if there are ties to other parts of the country, right?
Because they're very well could be, but that's what we're trying to uncover. I mean, you got to remember that when the presidential primary really started, it was not a foregone conclusion that everyone would get in line behind Donald Trump. Now, everyone kind of like the rank and file us, we all knew that Donald Trump was going to have the votes and win the nomination and then go on to compete. A lot of the establishment didn't know that. I mean, you got to – I remember this, and I don't want to knock Ron DeSantis or anything, but they were pouring millions and millions of dollars into his operation as well as his PAC, his super PAC. Because he, at the time, when it all started, he seemed to be like the guy that could compete against Trump. Then it was Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley kind of took up those – and she actually, unlike Ron – Nikki actually embraced it very openly that she was going to be against Donald Trump, and right. She was able to reap all that money. I want to remind people that not only happened nationally, it happened here in Colorado. We had people like Dick Wadhams. We had a lot of people in our party that didn't want us to endorse Trump before the Iowa caucus. I don't even remember that. Everyone was losing their minds, you know, saying, oh, we can't do this. This is a party, shouldn't do this. A ridiculous notion, right? The guy's going to be our nominee. He's going to beat Biden, or at the time we thought Biden, but now Harris. And yet they wanted to resist it, even though the American people wanted it. These people are never Trumpers. They are rhinos. And their whole goal in life is to take control of our party apparatus, not to help out the people, not to win elections necessarily, but to simply keep power under themselves and their friend. I always tell folks this, that the establishment doesn't mind being in the minority so long as they get to control it. They would love to be in the majority if it fell in their lap, but they're not going to work for it because they actually like Democrats. That's what we're trying to change. That's what we're trying to reform within our party. And if we can do that, we're going to be in a better spot. And I thank God every day that someone like Donald Trump came around and actually upended the entire party and took it over so that we could have the chance that we have now.
Right.
I agree totally with that, although every once in a while I get discouraged. Here in the 8th Congressional District, an upset was pulled off. An incumbent was beaten. Without that victory, the Republicans might not have a majority, all of which I think is tremendous. Unfortunately, we've elected somebody who is an absolute establishment guy. He's given all the money he got from Americans for prosperity. We all got his first missive, where he basically said he's going to betray everyone. What he is for is 4 pages of saying what a strong border guy is and how much he believes it. And then there's 2 paragraphs that you have to read, which says that anybody who gets past that border wall and gets apprehended, he's got to pay a small fine and then be on quote-unquote probation. There's no stopping people if that's all that's going to happen to you, is you pay a small fine until you finally get around to your citizenship, even though you shouldn't get it because you came in illegally. But page after page of sounding Trumpian. But when you get to the bottom line, he's doing the Kochs, massive open borders. And you just read that and you just kind of go, that's unbelievable that we'd have a congressman who would write that. Although I doubt if 10% of the Republicans in Adams County who read it were able to get to the real point, which was he is leaving the borders open because anybody, you got to pay a lot to a coyote to pay a small fine and stay in the country until you're granted citizenship and somehow. And there's no way to hold them accountable. It's just.
Well, Elon Musk.
Well, I mean, you know, the voting record is what counts the most, right? Politicians are notorious for speaking out of both sides of their mouth. That's why you have to actually look at what they voted on and compare it to the actual policy positions that were on paper versus what was talked about. And, you know, people like Gabe Evans or others, you know, their voting record is going to really show who they are. And it's up to people like Elon Musk to hold these people accountable or reward them. If they're doing great work and if they're helping Donald Trump do what he wants to do, especially when it comes to immigration, there's no reason why we shouldn't give them all the congratulations and kudos in the world.
Well, I agree. It just won't happen because we predicted it. We said you're a child, a bastard child.
I have my doubts about certain.
Chuck continues to manage expectations.
No, I'm just time, and I'm just feeling so joyful.
This is healthy, though. I think most Republicans need to start managing their expectations. They need to understand that these guys are politicians, and someone like Gabe Evans, who's in a particularly tight district, you know, he's being told by Washington insiders, hey, don't you know, pin yourself in a corner or anything like that. But the problem is our country is dying and falling apart. And with what you just saw with the continuing resolution, great example, you have about 400 crooks in Congress that don't want to necessarily cut spending, but it takes someone like Elon Musk to say, hey, you're going to do it or you're going to get primaried. And then they fold, right? So we need more people like Musk and Trump and others to hold their feet to the fire. And we do that, we'll be better off.
Well, and I think that's why this anti-corruption committee is so important, right? Because it's sort of saying that again, too, if you're going to try to actively harm the Colorado Republican Party from the inside, then we're going to figure out who you are. We're going to figure out who's funding you. And we're going to put it out there for people to see. It's just, I mean, you're going to shine a light on it. My guess is the mere fact that you're doing it is going to send a lot of these people scurrying under the rocks. I mean, I have to say, some of those rhinos who you know, incited the potential violent threats, because I'm going to ask you about that too.
Well, that's what I suggested to Dave, that he call it the anti-corruption / violence. Because it's the same people. It's to say that it was on a Zoom call with all the people talking about anti-corruption and Joy Overbeck being a, you know, a cheerleader for them, Joyless Overbeck. And you know, they're happy to listen contently while violence is threatened against you and others. They're happy to hear all this.
Well, they don't condemn it until days later after you guys. Until you guys file a police report.
Did not condemn it.
I think most of them actually didn't condemn it.
No.
And if others kind of condemned it, it was sort of a justification of why they think their hateful, behavior is acceptable. Here's the thing, right? So we're not only trying to expose what's going on here, but we will be taking appropriate legal measures as necessary. And, we're not quite sure what that is because we don't know what we have. We want the facts to lead us to the conclusion, not the other way. We don't want to have a predetermined outcome and then try to fit those facts into it. We want to see what was actually done. We have some theories that are probably going to bear themselves out, like, taking in money and then spending money and then not reporting it. That's pretty damn illegal. If that is the case, Matt's going to uncover that, and we're going to take appropriate steps to make that apparent, and then, of course, have the authority.
How is Matt going to uncover that?
Well, I don't want to speak for Matt, but Matt,
he's good the way he does before.
Matt knows how to uncover some things, and we're going to help give him the tools that he needs to do it. And that's a part of the reason why we're going to file a separate lawsuit as well. And a part of that, Chuck, to your point is, we are planning on winning in March. We're going to have a continuation of a conservative administration. So people are just going to have to – that's all I can say right now, but people are just going to have to wait and see, what happens in the following weeks ahead. So,
well, and I think with that and again, because you guys are – you're talking about the lawsuit. And again, I think – with the police investigation, I don't know if there's any update there. I understand that there have been some Zoom calls and actual conversations with the police investigating this, right?
Right. I mean, I can't necessarily get into all of it, but what I will say is there's a question of jurisdiction that the authorities are wrestling with. The state patrol took a look at this and then we brought in the Greenwood Village police because our headquarters are within that in those city limits. And then, they're wrestling with, well, who really has the ability to enforce the law or prosecute on this front, because all the officers live in different locations and jurisdictions, and all the principal volunteers and staff, they don't live in the same location. The office is there, but they're all spread out. And then what do you do when there are functions, GOP functions that are around the state? And so right now they're seeking help from the Attorney General's office to see exactly who is supposed to.
Phil will hop right on that one.
We think we'll at least get an answer. Right. And then we could proceed. I mean, it's not stopping us from doing other things as well. We have discussed doing a protection order, which we're pursuing.
Yeah, I think you should.
There are some things that we're doing right now. Of course, we've notified our officers and staff and volunteers who do go to the office. We've been telling them, this is what you need to do to make sure that you are in fact safe. So, I think the one thing that I want to leave with everyone about this particular situation is that imagine if the shoe was on the other foot, if the roles were reversed, if we were engaged in something that led to threats of violence offered up, we'd be crucified. That's the hypocrisy that needs to really be called out every single time, is that these people – if it was done to them, they'd be crying bloody murder. They'd be saying, we need to have, personal security taken care of us. Yeah. Now. I mean, these people are, they're shameless. They are okay with death threats against us, but if it were against them, they'd be losing their minds.
Right.
Well, and why it's such a great, you have his actual text.
You have the Zoom call. Right.
You can't say, you have to understand the context. You have to understand the, how I was saying it. No, it's right in the text. It's right there. It's absolutely clear and absolutely threatening violence. And no one could say, he really meant. No, it's right there.
Yeah,
it's plain English.
He makes it clear, yes.
So. It's plain English.
Well, hopefully. Well, Dave, the bottom line, too, is a good thing is that I think the Uniparty Rhinos establishment, I've been saying they went too far. They went too far. That's one thing to just sort of, like you said, if you don't like the chair, then elect a new chair. But the things that they have engaged in, culminating in these threats of violence, is too far. And I am so glad to see the Colorado Republican Party and the grassroots folks having, I mean, standing up and saying, okay, enough is enough. You know, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to root out the people who are corrupt, and we're going to hold people accountable as deep as we need to go.
Yeah, and look, we may have some setbacks along the way. We might not be as successful as we'd like to be, but the days of letting it happen with impunity are over. We are going to push back, and I think if we're able to punch back, metaphorically, of course, we're gonna see some success. I mean, that's the one way to stop a bully is to actually punch him in the mouth, right? I mean, they're bullies because we let them get away with being a bully. Those days are over. We're gonna push back, and we're gonna make sure that we're not gonna get beat up and treated with disrespect. So,
Matt Arnold, just I've always been
he's, yeah, he's great. Matt. Yeah. So, well, Dave, listen, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Once again,
great
for your time and your effort. Okay. Hopefully, keep us posted on events. Okay.
You bet.
All right.
Do.
Thank you.
Take care,
Dave Williams. There, Colorado Republican Party. Yeah, I think it's I think that's a big message too. It's like, you know, we are pushing back, and the days when you could just do this, and you know, Krista Kafer and Norma Anderson could try to keep Trump off the ballot and think that no one's going to call him out. You know, this is from Charlene. Maybe Musk will form a Musk Institute for America in Colorado. A Musk against Colorado corruption, and be very selective about membership. Yeah. Well, let's jump into the continuing resolution. I don't know if you guys have been following this, but the sort of business as usual, they were going to pass everything. Nothing was taken out. There was expanded, essentially pandemic mask vaccine mandate stuff. They were going to continue to fund the censorship industrial complex, give themselves a big raise. And then Elon Musk started saying, any Republican who votes for this will be primaried, should be primaried, right? Could be voted out. And all of a sudden, Lauren Boebert, to her credit, said no from the very beginning.
Yeah, she did.
She said no from the very beginning. Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk, said no. Why are we even talking about this? And they seem to be, this is kind of my sense, sort of a compromise of no one's going to do anything until Donald Trump takes office. Donald Trump came out and said, no, why are you doing this continuing resolution? It looks like they may have killed. I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, you have to understand, if they don't pass it, then the quote unquote government shuts down, to all our horror.
Those people are staying at home anyway.
Yeah. They won't have to go anywhere. It'll be shut down and they won't have to go anywhere, which would be great. And non-essential workers can stay home too. Essential and non-essential people get to stay at home. So there's no difference. No saying essential people, you come into work. It's essential people, you turn on your computer. Non-essential people, you don't have to turn on
essential
your computer.
Real quick on this, Dave is always so calm and measured, a great leader. I agree with you, Charlene, he knows reason. Well, yeah, I mean,
but it if there's a one time in which Republicans, you know, before they said, just before the election in September, they said, no, we'll get blamed. We've got an election coming up. We can't do that. You know, now we're past the election.
We can't, because of all the people who have paid us, the lobbyists and everybody.
And Mike Johnson, who just seems like such a pleasant, wonderful guy.
He's not going to get to go to the ringside with him anymore if he doesn't.
Well, I mean, they have these, you know, you can go online and watch him, where he said, look, we're not going to play this Christmas deal where all of a sudden you're not going to get to go home, because unless you give us this continuing pork-laden continuing resolution, or we'll keep you here. And everybody, oh no, we can't do that. And what does he do? He does. I mean, it's no different than Joe Biden.
No,
I will not pardon Hunter Biden. I will pardon Hunter Biden. Let's see. And so John said, oh, none of this Christmas crap. We won't do that.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be the Christmas crap, though. It sort of sounds like.
Well, it is a Christmas crap.
Well, they're not going to keep it there. They're just going to put it off till January 20th. I mean, that's kind of the impression.
Well, how do you put it off to January 20th? A continuing resolution.
A continuing resolution, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Although, as Jacob points out, just shut the government down.
Well, but if, unless, I mean, this is the perfect time to shut the government down, because Trump isn't president.
Right.
So you can't blame him, per se.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
So let him shut down the government And it's during Joe Biden's watch.
That's right.
Well, I mean, if you're...
And he's not watching anyway.
And he's not watching anyway. He won't even notice.
Right.
And so
and Nancy
why...
Nancy Pelosi.
Why? They, you know, don't continue it on to January 20th, where it becomes Trump's fault. But just shut the government down for the holidays.
That's right.
I mean, who cares?
This is from Charlene. And then, Jacob, you can come on. Johnson's a poser. He likes to insert himself in Trump photos and give nothing. Leo was saying Mike Johnson is the king of Trump and Musk photobombing. Yeah. It's true. He's always, he just always gets in there. Hey, Jacob, go ahead. You have your hand raised there.
Hi. I just, on the thing about we're going to primary you out, I think that goes for the Democrats also. You know, especially those in the red states, whatever Democrats they have in the red states, they're going to, I mean, he's got tons of money. He can primary anybody he wants. It doesn't have to be a Republican.
And it's not just him anymore. It's kind of fun. Are you seeing all the multi-billionaires jumping on board? He's got Peter Thiel. He's got, you know, Zuckerberg, Bezos are now, oh, we love you, Donald Trump, right?
There,
it's not just Elon Musk anymore. I mean, every AI tech person in the universe is jumping on the Trump train.
I know. One, first of all, what's his name? Diamond from Chase Manhattan is all of a sudden giving Trump advice.
Yeah.
I guess he's worried about the Bitcoin. But I'll tell you one president of one company that's not going to be on the Trump train, and that's the president of ABC.
Oh, well, I don't know, though. They gave him $15 million. I mean, you know, Iger, you never know. It was the Disney CEO, which owns ABC. But I think, you know, you're reading all this stuff. George Stephanopoulos is pretty annoyed that they gave him $16 million. So, I mean, maybe he's not actively jumping on the Trump train, but he's like giving him cash as it rolls by.
I think it was because the discovery stuff started coming out in the emails and this and that.
That was going to be ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't want that getting out.
I think you're right, too. Okay. Hey, Jacob, thank you. Appreciate it. Well, hopefully then we'll see how they play it out.
Well, it will not play out well because they're never willing to do the thing they need to do. And the thing they need to do is get the Democrats so they also are bought in. So when you close down the government, you give them a bill that you Republicans are for and you have the Democrats vote no.
Right.
And then that closes down the government. And then you have a huge fight on who is to blame, right? I mean, it's always them. And so mainstream media used to always be able to take it. And so it was the Republicans' fault. So they'd fold after a couple of days or a week. But they don't really have the capacity to do it. But they have to pass the Republican bill among the caucus. And all of them vote for it. And then have the Democrats, or most of them, vote for it. A few don't vote for it, and therefore it's and all the Democrats will vote against it, and then you close the government down. What is so hard about that?
Right.
Why can't Johnson figure that out?
Because you're missing the point. Because one, the government doesn't actually close down. Right. It's not
closed down there.
Right. I mean,
the phones. Well, not the phones.
But no one's answering the phones anyway.
Well, it comes into
the reason they don't is because they're part of the problem. They're the uniparty swamp, right? No one, I think the problem is no one ever had much except for the American people. The vote, the only people who ever cared about it and getting things under control were the people, and they could care less about the people. But all of a sudden now you've got people with money like Elon Musk saying, hey, we'll primary you and we'll remember this in 2 years if you do this. All of a sudden now you've got a little bit of incentive to be answerable.
Okay, let's assume for a second, a fortunate second, that Musk and Vivek have been successful and they want to introduce the bill that will be passed by the Democrats and all. So they won't introduce it. What's next?
Start cutting things. Get things.
No,
well, I
would
imagine.
Things. There's no cutting things. What happens?
But then you tell me what's next.
Well, it has to be either the government shuts down and then you go into more asinine negotiations. You don't begin cutting. There's no cutting to be done because it's not really a budget bill.
Right.
It's a continuing resolution.
But can't you limit the amount of money that's in the... you just say we're not going to continue it then. We're going to start again. We're going to start with a whole new one.
The first 15 pages of these continuing resolutions covers everything that is presently going on.
I mean, this was almost 1,600 pages long, right?
Yeah. So the other 1,585 are new stuff.
Right.
You
Oh,
could,
yeah. But first, you could get rid of the new stuff.
yeah, you could just take a 15 pager and say, hey, but nobody likes that.
Right. And from Charlene Johnson knows what needs to be done. He's owned by the globalists. Well, exactly. They all are. And I think this is why finally you have somebody who with some money who says, we'll primary you. So now they can't just, I'm sure the globalists aren't going to go away. The globalists will say, okay, well, we'll give you more money for your campaign, but now we want this out of you. But at least it's a start. And I think the other thing that's happening is Ramaswamy and Musk are doing a good job just exposing some of the completely ridiculous. What if there was one that there was like hundreds of thousands of dollars spent to see if cocaine made a certain species of quail more promiscuous? It's like, really? I mean, really?
Well, the problem with
Like, so we shouldn't be spending money.
The problem with those is that they're just X number of ridiculously funded bills. But the big problem is the government's too big. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are things that do something and have a positive effect that we pay some extraordinary amounts for. And therefore, you're going to have to say, okay, that's in general, if we didn't have to pay for it, it'd be a good idea. But we do have to pay for it, so we're not going to do it. Those are the huge ones. Not the stupid 100,000 grand.
Oh, but pointing that out.
I know, but that's what they do every time. And ever since I've seen this, and going back to the Grace Commission, you remember that one in Reagan's years? That builds up support, but it doesn't build up what's going to happen when you decide, okay, having third world language skills for wounded vets cut out. Because wounded vets, I don't care what it's for. It's wounded vets. Well, there are. I mean, there are constituencies for all these.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, somebody somewhere, there's going to be pain. Exactly. And it's like, you know, again, what do they say? You know, people don't change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing. So we need to make it very painful for them to stay the same. And I think that's what Musk is doing. I want to talk about something else that's kind of interesting going on with the border thing. You remember that the Tren de Aragua, gang, Venezuelan gang.
How do you pronounce it?
Tren de Aragua, I think.
Tren de Aragua?
Aragua? All right, I don't know. I'm not Venezuelan. But at any rate...
That didn't sound Hispanic to me.
But the gangs, the Venezuelan gang, we'll call them the Venezuelan criminal gang, was a figment of our imagination. Mike Kaufman assured us of that. Jared Polis assured us of that. Please, all the please. Democrats, the Denver Post, everybody, Channel 9, Kyle Clark.
Thank God for Channel 9.
Assured us of that. Well, last night, or over the weekend, rather, a figment of our imagination, some 19 of them.
Tortured some people.
Tortured, kidnapped, held hostage, and tortured people. And the Aurora police have finally held a news conference and finally said, yes, these were gang members. This is all going on at the complex that they told us where everybody was being racist for saying they were bad. And the residents were like, no, we can't live here safely. Turns out you can't because they,
unless you enjoy being tortured.
Right. And they did that. And so then it's kind of interesting because that has gotten now national attention. Even Channel 9, I've noticed, and the Denver Post are sort of quoting the police chief, Todd Chamberlain, who must be standing up to Mike Kaufman or somebody because he's finally...
Todd stands up to no one.
Well,
Todd is an old other tool. They've arrested them and released them on $1,000 bonds. You have to put up 10% of the bond, so $100.
But at least he's identifying as gang members. So I want to
how does he know they're gang members? Because he doesn't know what gang they belong to. They asked him, what gang do they belong to? He says... I don't know.
No, he did. He changed his tune.
He changed his tune
and we will
play.
Hey, Doug, if we could please play the Aurora police chief video.
It was a male and a female. They were accosted by approximately 13 to 15 armed individuals. They were pistol whipped. They were beat. They were mistreated. One of the male was actually stabbed. He had a stab wound. So does that fall in the category of torture for me? Yeah, it does. There is a high assumption that they may be affiliated with the TDA gang. I had a discussion with an individual from the White House, and that occurred back on September the 23rd, I believe. And that person basically told me that, hey, once these immigrants get across the border, that's all we really care about. And to me, that's a problem.
Wow, those are powerful words. That was the police chief in Aurora, Colorado, detailing a nightmare inside the walls of an apartment complex known to be home to members of that notorious Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua. More than a dozen suspects breaking into an apartment where they tied up, pistol whipped, and even stabbed two innocent victims. I can barely believe it as we say it.
Yeah, oh, Charlene said, Julie said it right, Tren de Aragua. So and then so that is now at least the chief there did say yes. So
before he said we have no way of knowing.
Right, but he's saying now they know.
No, they don't know, but there are high suspicions, there's a high probability.
So that Fox News is that was Fox News you saw there. And then they also they had on the border czar Tom Homan on, who had just finished talking to the New York mayor, right? And he then the Fox guy said, hey, you need to go to Aurora and talk to Mike Kaufman about
this.
Yeah,
the Republican. The Republican Mike Kaufman.
Right, yeah, if we could please play the Homan soundbite.
Touch with Mike Kaufman from Aurora, Colorado, because he seems to have a Tren de Aragua problem on his hands, regardless of what he said earlier this year.
Of course he does, but, you know, he's the one that says he doesn't have a problem, along with the governor. But, what, you know, I just saw your piece on the chief of police standing over talking about this issue. What's lacking is an ICE person standing next to him shoulder to shoulder. So he's talking the talk, but let's hope he walks the walk and hand these people to ICE when he's done with them, because we can remove them not only from the community but from the country. And if law enforcement officers don't help us do that, we're certainly going to do that starting January 21st.
Right. Well, I don't know if they're acknowledging that they've got a problem at this point, but the police chief would seem to suggest that they do. I wanted to ask you about your meeting with Eric Adams last week. Here's what he said after he spent some time with you.
We're not going to be a safe haven for those who commit repeated violent crimes against innocent migrants, immigrants, and longstanding New Yorkers. That was my conversation today with the border czar to figure out how do we go after those individuals who are repeatedly committing crimes in our city.
See, and that's the kind of thing that we need Mike Kaufman to say, right? Mike Kaufman, Mayor Johnson, Governor Polis, rather than saying, oh, these are just...
That's the exact same thing, even worse than our beloved new congressman. Repeated criminal acts? How many of those are they?
Okay. But that's a place. What I'm saying is, in this particular situation, we need them to say, yeah, rather than saying it's a figment of your imagination, you're racist for reporting this, there are no gangs no Venezuelan gangs in Aurora, to go ahead and acknowledge it. And
I'd like to deport 14 people.
I like what Homan, it's better than nothing.
It's not better than nothing.
I like what Homan said, because he's absolutely right. He's like, okay, that's great that the police chief was there, but where was the ICE guy, right? Yeah. Because we could have put these people, picked them up, had them held up. When you let them out on bond, we would have then picked him up on a retainer, but Colorado law doesn't allow that to happen. Basically, it handcuffs law enforcement from cooperating with immigration officials, which is insanity. But at least I think things are slowly... I mean, it's like maybe you have to be, you know, slowly turning. People are sick of it.
If you have a serial killer,
Chuck, you're just so full of holiday cheer.
I am.
You are these days. Let's see, from Charlene. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's finally calling out Never Trump Kaufman. Exactly. We owe all of this truth telling to Daniel Jurinsky and her not backing down.
Yes,
also,
yes,
exactly. Yes. As well as some of the people who live there. And then Jacob said, didn't the gangs kidnap people from the Aurora apartment complexes? Yeah. I mean, they've been kidnapping them. They were holding people hostage sort of all along by extorting money from them. But
they're out. And, I mean, they put up $100.
I'm not sure. Have you seen
them? They are, yes.
Okay.
They're all out. For your Christmas holiday.
And that's where, again, like Homan says, there needs to be an ICE agent there. Because when they post the bond, which an idiot Democrat-appointed judge gives them, allows for them, then at least there is an ICE detainer on them, right? And so then ICE can go get them. But in Colorado, I mean, and this has been the case for years. Back when I was working at the TV station, it was what 8 years now?
Right.
I mean, the immigration status, when they would consider whether somebody was a flight risk, right, which is what goes into bond consideration, at least theoretically, they never even asked them whether they were a citizen or not, or whether they were here illegally or not, right? That wasn't a factor. Right. It's like, you'd think that would be something.
Anything else we should ask?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if Colorado is hopeless, but at least Channel 9 is now acknowledging, all right, maybe
technically
there might be a gang member or something.
Yeah, there may be gangs, but you know, let's if they're committing repeated crimes, then we'll send them back to Mexico so they can come back here.
We won't even do that. We'll just send them back to the apartment complex.
Yeah.
Where they'll kidnap people for reporting them.
Yeah.
And Charlene says Kaufman acts like he's not even mayor. Oh, I know. Well, that's better than Mike Johnson, who acts like he's mayor and is slowly but surely. What did the Denver Post had an interesting headline, like the bazillion of the bazillion restaurants that closed in Denver this past year. Here are like literally it was like 20 of the saddest. It's like now they never get into what the city policies are that are causing all these. I mean, every time they interview the restaurant owner, they put a little blurb in there where the restaurant owner says, yeah, it's all the crime, the homelessness, the minimum wage increases, the regulations. So yeah, we're getting out of Dodge or Denver. They don't mention that really. They just say, isn't it sad that all the restaurants
we love
are
that
leaving?
Restaurant so much.
Yeah. Finally today, though, this is kind of fun. Gone, but not forgotten and not totally gone. Our former or your former Democrat presidential nominee, Kamala Harris, is still, I don't think anyone's seen her in Washington, D.C., or at least at the White House or her office. But she periodically pops up giving speeches. And it's like, I can't imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, that she's drinking. I don't know if it's drinking. I would bet not.
Drinking? No, no.
My guess is she's just an idiot. But, you know, I mean, or maybe
watch
the two combined.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Watch for yourself.
Watch for yourself. This
I'm
is just,
doing she's drinking a little bit. She's,
here's well, why not,
I would guess that she's tippling a little.
Here's them. Or maybe she's smoking pot, because that's legal. So Charlene says, yes, Julie, she likes the bars. That's true. We've got video. But here's her latest word salad. Doug, if we could please play, from Jacob, a drunk idiot. That's true. If we could please play the Kamala soundbite.
The true test of our commitment is whether in the face of an obstacle, do we throw up our hands or do we roll up our sleeves? And as we approach... And I ask you to remember the context in which you exist.
What?
Yeah, I did that. The true...
She made such a good president.
Yeah, Jacob
says, made such a good president.
Jacob says, bottoms up. Dr. Donna says, slurring with a cackle. You know, you're right. Actually, looking at that a little bit closer, take back the thing that she wasn't drinking. Okay. Or if she was doing something. I mean, that's just, like you said, she would have made a fun president.
Oh, God.
I mean, Joe Biden, you never know what he was going to say because he was...
We're now in a nuclear war with Russia.
Take the context.
We've lost about 100 million people, but...
I know, from Charlene, oh no, the context in which we exist. Dr. Donna, Coke for everyone.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. And people keep saying the Democrats, she polls, they're still their number one choice for 2028. It's a, you go with that. You stick with that. And,
well,
and, you,
always
and you keep throwing her out there. You keep throwing her out there, giving speeches that we can all have fun with too. I mean, that's just insanity, you know. From the Kamala street corner cardboard sign. Oh, we'll get on my knees for Hennessy. I thought you liked vodka. I forget. Well, in a pinch, in a pinch, anything you'll do. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us, you guys. Thank you to Dave Williams, everybody.
Yeah, it's great having Dave.
Everybody on Zoom, and it's coming up Party Friday.
Yeehaw!
We'll
and we're going to have Julie last week, let down everyone. We acknowledge it. I acknowledge it. And we apologize, personally apologize, because she had no Friday funnies.
I know.
There
but,
was
but
not a
funny
Friday funny.
We had Kamala. We could play more Kamala.
Yeah, but we promise you this Friday, Julie will do her sacred duty and give us one of those Friday funnies we all love.
All right. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.